after we behave.
We'll call the meeting to order. We do have some minutes, I believe, but we're not going to approve those till we get a quorum. But on behalf of the Minnesota House, all of Minnesota, the nation as a whole, we want to welcome back our esteemed friend and colleague, Mr. McCormick, to the Commerce Committee. You don't look any more beautiful than you were before. I know you had a little nose thing, but welcome back, Pat.
Mr. Chairman, it's good to be back. I had a little bit of a nose surgery. I was asking them for the Atkins. They
like
they wouldn't go there, and neither should I.
You and I and Michael Jackson probably are people that don't need any more plastic surgery. But well, it's nice to have you back, though, Pat. We missed you. No offense to Andrew. He did a fine job, but you know, he's no Pat McCormick. So, speaking of welcome backs, we've got Mr. McCormick. We've got Mr. Barrett back from the Gambling Control Board. As he comes up, we've got this is kind of an unusual committee hearing, more of a work session than anything. There's three topics that I'm hoping to cover today. Number one is to get an update from Mr. Barrett. Number two is to find out sort of as from his experience in talking to people that are running electronic pull tabs and doing really, really well at some sites, is if they have any basic common sense sort of pointers in terms of what's working that others can perhaps incorporate into their operations. And then number three, and I want to preface number three by saying, for the last, I think, since about January when we started having these updates from Mr. Barrett, my concern, quite frankly, was I didn't think electronic pull tabs were going to perform quite as well as were expected. And I think many, particularly as of last week, have sort of come around to that acknowledgement that at some point they probably will do okay. Right now they're not doing particularly well, but there are... you know, when you have an investment that isn't performing quite as well, you look for other alternatives and backups and that kind of thing. And when you have a snowstorm coming, if you're not sure that your snowblower is working, you might go out and buy a shovel. That kind of approach, and it's just not just practical is all that we're talking about here. So the third part of our discussion this afternoon, and the reason why there is no bill. Is because I wanted to do it in as non-threatening of a way as possible, and that is that I've heard from others. There's a little memo in your packet that I've heard from others. I've had ideas of my own. I've heard from all kinds of folks with little tweaks and ideas that they've had relative to making electronic pull tabs maybe perform a little bit better. And wanted to go through some of those concepts, hear questions or comments from members about what you've heard from people in the industry or from people that are playing. And we're not looking to roll the charities. We're not looking to roll anybody, the tribes or the lottery or anybody. It's just a matter of talking about possible options. At the end of our meeting, then, we're just going to think on it. And I would invite those in the audience and members of the committee to give some thought to the ideas that are floated around, see what sticks, see which ones folks think are good ideas, see which ones just set the world on fire, and that we have folks that there's zero interest or there's an antagonistic approach, because again, we're not looking to push anything down anybody's throats, and I'd like to know that before we introduce a bill or if there's a bill at all, rather than, you know, start down that path and set the world on fire and make everybody all nervous. So before we get underway, the representative from Lyon, Representative Swidzinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just looking at your list of testifiers here. Is there anyone going to be from the Vikings at all for today's discussion here? Just as part of the conversation that we have? Or
The Norwegian?
Sure, yeah.
No, this is, at this point, I think we've got folks here in the room that can answer questions as well, but it's an update from Mr. Barrett, then me just pitching some ideas. It's mostly literally, that's why it's such an unusual committee meeting, is it is more so designed to hear from members about what you may have picked up from people in your own home districts or from folks in the industry, and then just see what questions there are and what sticks and away we'll go. With that, though, we do have a quorum at this point, and we'll... Representative Swedzinski, as long as I'm doing so well on pronouncing your name, today moves the minutes of the, which meeting? The April 10th, 2013 meeting. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, seeing none, that motion prevails. Representative, Mr. Barrett, welcome back. Can you give us the latest information on how electronic poll tabs are performing and then perhaps electronic bingo as well? I know there was a little rollout and then kind of where things are at on that.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you and members. Tom Barrett, Director of the Gambling Control Board. And again, thanks for the opportunity to come back before the committee and give an update. It's been an interesting few months. Actually, it's been an interesting year since the legislation was passed involving electronic gaming. Much has been written, especially in the last few months, not much of it good. And obviously, that's raised some of the concerns of the committee here. And part of the reason for the brief but important update. I do plan to give some good information as far as some charitable sites that have taken on the electronic gaming and how they've been performing. To the extent the opportunity to present some of the issues with our regulatory focus, happy to do that and, of course, address any questions the committee might have. But just a quick background maybe before I get into the handouts. Once again, to remind members in the public, charitable gaming in Minnesota is by far the biggest in the country, number one in terms of sales and activity. We have just over 1,200 licensed charities conducting charitable gaming at approximately 2,800 locations in Minnesota. Last fiscal year, gross sales topped over $1 billion. But if you look about 8 years ago, it was a $1.4 billion. So that has actually dropped. Now, some of the reasons behind the drop goes back to the smoking ban when that was implemented, the economy and those changes. But when those effects took place, that was when the charity started to see what was the result of the declining receipts and the request to consider other alternatives, other options with gaming. So last year wasn't the first year that the charitable industry came before the legislature looking to automate the games. It was actually a few years earlier. But it was one of their main focuses in terms of ways to help their mission and continue with their operation. Last year when the legislature did sign the bill and the governor signed it on May 14th, it was all 3 days later before we had our first license application submitted by one of the vendor applicants. In less than 4 months' time, September 18th, we rolled out the first electronic pull tab game. And while that, to my extent, is something worthy of the good efforts, part of the credit goes back to the legislature in terms of the detail that was provided in the bill with these the devices and the system, but also working with the industry and the staff to develop the technical game standards. But like I said, we were feeling pretty good with the rollout in relatively a short period of time, which, by the way, as we testified before, nowhere else in the country has this format of gaming been tried. But it was with the rollout that obviously we started to see some of the factors that came into play or are coming into play, and it's primarily focused on the slower than expected placement of the devices at the sites that have charitable gaming. And so with that, I thought I would get into the handout specifically. I know some folks are reading ahead, and I'll try to stay as current as I can, but I think the first page really tries to summarize where we are at in terms of activity today. We have three electronic pull tab vendors that are manufacturers that have been approved to provide the product. That's handled by nine distributors that have been approved to carry the electronic games to the charities and offer them for sale. We have two electronic link bingo vendors that are approved. One's got the active operation at the on-site, but they're still in what I would call the testing mode. And then there's one electronic bingo vendor that still has their game format out at the independent testing lab for testing before it comes to us for final approval. What I attempted to do is align the license manufacturers with those licensed distributors that are carrying to the product. You might have heard back from some of the licensees and the status of their license application. This gives you a pretty good picture of where we are today in terms of who's been approved and who they're dealing with in terms of the charities. Additionally, we have two electronic pull tab manufacturers that still have applications pending. They're going through the background checks. We have one electronic pull tab manufacturer that's also a link bingo vendor, but they elected to put their application on hold at their request. And then we have two additional vendors that I'm aware of that have requested license applications, which I take as a good sign. We had one just recently this week that submitted, or excuse me, last week, that requested information, which tells me that even despite what you're reading about or hearing about, there is interest to come to Minnesota and bring their product. As of today, we have 218 registered sites, 200 actively selling. Why the difference? The working with the distributors as far as the product placement, but then the time it takes to get the sales staff up the training, get the equipment hooked up and running. Since September 18th, gross sales from the electronic games only, just over $10 million in gross and $1.5 million in net receipts, meaning after prizes are paid.
Mr. Barrett, can I interrupt you just briefly? Representative yep. Hoppe's got a quick question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Barrett, all of the licensed distributors listed here, are all of them currently selling paper pull tabs or distributing paper pull tabs?
Mr. Chair, Representative, the official answer would be yes. I will point out Express Games, their primary focus is on the electronic, but they have an instance where they acquired paper games for.
Thank you.
The next handout is a one-page summary of all the activity, starting with fiscal year month of July, showing the activity not only for electronic pull tabs, but bingo, raffles, paddle wheels. The point I'll make here is even with all the activity, sales for the industry are roughly 6.6% ahead of where they were the previous fiscal year, which is a good sign in terms of the charities that benefit from the proceeds, but is also for the benefit of the state that where the tax revenues come from. I will throw a caution on this right now. If you go to the column under electronic pull tabs, you see a total sales of $3,050,000. Again, that's based on the way the charities report to us monthly, and they're not required to report their activity until they close the games out. So as the footnote indicates below that, it includes only closed game activity, but by virtue of this new technology and our ability to monitor the activity, actual sales from all of the electronic pull tabs since the startup was just over $10 million. So I hopefully explain that.
And Mr. Baird, Representative Swedzinski, and then I've got a follow-up as well. Representative Swedzinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just kind of looking at this graph, it looks like March of 13 hasn't been reported yet. At what time during the month of April do you usually get the numbers finalized in that for the previous month?
Yep, Mr. Chair and Representative, very good question. The law requires the charity they're conducting gaming to report by the 20th of the following month. So roughly by the end of the week, we should start seeing those activity reports for March.
Well, this hearing may go that long, so we might have a chance to get...
in conclusion...
yeah, I doubt on a sunny day we're going to... just to follow up on the footnoted item, is it time to change the way that folks report if electronically we can actually capture this information in real time? Why are we waiting until the game's closed out for the report? Wouldn't it be more accurate and more reflective of how well the charities are doing and a little more up to date in terms of the... Because if you're on the report, it says $3,050,000, but you know with certainty that there's already been over $10 million. Is that accurate?
Mr. Chair, that's accurate. To that point, and I won't speak on behalf of Revenue, but the same issue is actually brought up by Revenue, Gambling Control Board, and the charities. Because as they know that they're not required to report, but they've seen the activity. But that's one of those things that I know Revenue is looking at in terms of modifying the reporting element, the time, so they could get into similar what's allowed or what how the charities report for bingo right now, where all bingo activity is based on after prizes paid, the net receipts per month. And so I think, and again, I won't speak for Revenue, they're in the audience, but I know they're looking at that and they're looking at it very seriously.
Okay, thank you.
The next chart is just a simple one liner, but it does give an indication simply tracking the gross sales from the electronic pull tabs. Again, it's tracked by month as we launched in September up in the upper left-hand corner. You can see the relatively slow start. Again, happy that we launched sooner than we expected, but 12 sites generating 27,000 to as recently as March, where we have 2.4 million at 195 sites. On an average, that works out to about 12,000 gross sales per site. But I will take this opportunity that we do see a difference between vendors and how they report on a per-site basis. Maybe it's the playability of the devices. Maybe they've been in the market longer. But there is a difference between some of the vendors and sales activity based on the product that's placed there. The next chart is what I would call the beginning of what I think is the good news side of things. I know we've spent a lot of time, but in front of you is what I would call the top 10 electronic pull tab sites based on activity for the month of March. You can go down the list, though, in terms of, the top one, Mully's on Madison and Mankato. We call it the 3M bar, but this is a location that had one of the highest sales activity, 110,000 in gross receipts for the month of March. Prairie Ecology Bus Center. Now, I'm not too familiar with the charity specifically, but I did reach out to the gambling manager, and before I did, I looked up their site. I thought it was Prairie Ecology Business Center, but it's not. It is truly a bus, and it is a fabulous program. They literally have a bus that they take people around their local communities and stop at the prairies and educate. But nonetheless, they happen to have the top two sites in terms of activity for the month of March. I got additional detail that will follow in that respect. The next page is simply a picture of the state. And the importance of this is reiterates the top 10 that are on the list, but I draw attention to the fact that it's not a metro only. This is sales happening all around the state, maybe in the upper northwest region, a little light, but you can get a quick indication that this is not just benefiting metro charities and the rollout. But you run down the list for the benefit of the public: Mankato, Windham, Bertram, St. Paul, St. Cloud, Hill City, Dilworth, Eveleth, Rochester, all those sites with experiencing some of the top sales activities. And then on the other side, the charities that are listed there. Now, Mr. Chair, I was with your a little insight, but I thought, you know, is a picture worth a... Does a picture tell the story? And that's what you're looking at. This is Porky's Bar in St. Paul. For those local folks that are familiar with Porky's Bar, it's probably as big as this hearing room, or not even that big. But it is one of the top sales sites that we're tracking. You don't see any neon lights, any searchlights, but it's a picture that hopefully shows if pull tabs, electronic and paper, can be sold at a relatively high rate, could it be done elsewhere? Get into the graphs, because again, more pictures, hope that's all right, but this is a picture that does tell a story, and you can obviously see how the activity was going along up through September without the arrival of the electronic games, and then we see the arrival of the electronic games, and obviously a marked change benefiting not only the bar owner, but in this case, the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Children's Fund and their proceeds. The support following that chart, the support for that graph is included, and as you can see, as we step down, the average gross receipts before paper, $15,000. The average gross after the electronics comes in at $16,000, so that's an indication where sales of paper actually increased. But you can see that it's a five-fold increase from what they were averaging before electronics of just over 15,000 to over 91,000. Next chart, reflecting Skinner's Pub. Again, we took only a couple of the charities, but this also gives an indication of some of the data that we can track and provide information, not just to the charities, but obviously legislative, anybody else. But the reason I brought this in is this is a what I would consider a model example where we have a bar location that the primary focus of paper sales are done by representatives from the charity, and the charity has worked with the bar owner to say, off hours, regular hours, you bar employee, you can sell the electronics. The new law passed last year allows that latitude to bar owners to earn additional compensation via rent if they're involved in the conduct of selling the games on behalf of the charity. But as you can see in the chart, again, the marked improvement from the time they were selling regular paper and then to the inclusion of the electronics. And again, behind each chart is the actual support documents or the support numbers if anybody has questions in that respect.
So just, Mr. Barrett, so yep. We're clear that the two similarities with Porky's and Skinner's is that they have the traditional selling by the charities, but in the off hours, I just want to make sure that I heard you right. In the off hours, the bar itself, there's kind of the bartender or somebody else at the bar allows for the sale of the electronic, the use of the iPad or some other version to sell electronic pull tabs.
Yep. Sorry, Mr. Chair, just to clarify, in the Porky's case, they're truly a bar op. So everything they sell all hours of the day, it's benefits the in that scope. But Skinner's is an example, and we'll get into some of this maybe in some of the issues in terms of how the charity works cooperatively with the bar. But it's an example where the charity did work with the bar owner to say, we're going to keep selling the paper. It does well. You want to sell the electronics. So in that sense, there's two different models. Same charity, but two different models. Howie Sports Bar out of St. Cloud, again, an example where the sales increased, obviously, when the electronics came in. But also another example at a site that the paper sales have increased as well. And this was one of the factors in our estimates that we expected to see a decrease in paper sales. Now, there is some decrease going on, don't get me wrong. But we expected to see it at the top sales locations, the expectation that we would see a decrease in paper, and that's not happening at this site. And again, as that graph shows, that sales have virtually doubled for that location. The next two charts deal with the Prairie Ecology Bus Group. But again, this is a charity that last year ranked number 138 in terms of gross sales activity. Based on how they're doing thus far, obviously they're going to rise up to the upper level with some of the other charities. Well, when I reached out to the gambling manager for these sites, this site and then the next one is Mully's in Mankato. I didn't talk to the person before, but I said, his name is Terry Wheeler. I said, Terry, just looking for some insight. What is your secret as relates to the sales, the significant sales activity? You obviously got off or involved early on. And he sent me an email back. Hi, Tom. The best answer I can think of is that we've worked with the site owners and the distributor and put our best effort into installation, education of staff, and ongoing communication. Not a secret in any venture, but extremely important. All feedback, both positive and negative, have been seriously listened to and evaluated. The income that we realize is vital to our educational organization. And the point, I guess, I'm trying to make is it's not rocket science. They did jump into the activity. There was concerns, costs, those kinds of things. But as he says, it's not a secret in any venture. He just worked with the distributor, training the sales staff, and obviously they have a pretty successful operation. And the final point, in case there's any questions, it's more of an addendum, but it's something I provided to the committee before, but it's simply a background timeline from the time the bill was signed to the efforts of the Gambling Control Board in terms of the activity from license application, license consideration, license approval, and then the game rollout. And then I would be remiss if I didn't do a shout out to the paper manufacturers as well to say yesterday at our board meeting, the board approved over 425 new paper pull tab games.
And Representative Ms. Barrett, and then I know Representative Straczynski has a question. In terms of the performance of paper, I know there were some of us that were a little worried that electronics was going to really diminish the return on paper pull tabs. Is that still up? I think the last time you were here, they were up 5 or 6 or 7%.
Mr. Chair, yeah. Currently, as one of the earlier charts showed, about 6.6. Now, that's total. Of that total, the credit that goes to electronic is about 0.5%. So it's still holding overall, and this includes bingo as well and raffles, but it's upwards of 6.5%. The month of March has historically been a very good month for gaming activity. We don't have those figures yet. We'll get those soon, but certainly welcome to come back. But we expect to see that pattern continue. We've talked to charity reps. So far, paper's still holding its own. But that is one of those things that we looked in. We expected to see a decrease. There are decreases happening in some of the sites, but again, what I tried to show today is those very active sites where we expected to see a bigger decrease. That's not the case at all. It's done very well.
Okay. Representative Swedzinski, I know you're over there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just my question to the testifier is just really a two-part question, kind of along a data line, just on the collection of it. Are you able to kind of look at, you know, from a heavy use standpoint, you know, a lot of businesses will track, you know, 5% of their customer base is a heavy use, and then the rest, you know, like they do 95% of the business. Are you able to kind of do that when it comes to, you know, when it comes to the marketing, when you're looking at and also age demographics? So if you're looking at a Porky's or if you're looking at a Fat Pheasant, you know, looking at kind of their demographic layout of who's coming into the door to really be able to target that potentially with the product line, is that, have you guys kind of looked into that sort of thing?
Ms. Barrett?
Mr. Chair and Representative, the quick answer is no, and the reason I'll qualify that is we're not the lottery model where there is certainly the marketing side. Our focus primarily is on, obviously, the integrity of the games and the operations. But let's assume for a moment we had that capability. While we have great technology to literally watch, if you were playing an electronic game, we could see you at that site, but we don't have the capability to follow up and say, you know, who is that person that's playing? We wouldn't go there. But in terms of reaching out to the charities and maybe even the representatives from the bar industry to see what goes on, we've had cases where, geez, charity will report sales dropped. Well, why'd they drop? Well, we lost our key player. But again, those are relatively some small examples of, you know, their favorite person doesn't come into the bar anymore. But we don't track that by any means. But I do take the opportunity this as we get into maybe some of the issues is the marketing of these games and education. That's become one of the factors and what role the board should play or what role the other stakeholders should play. So hopefully follow up on that.
Okay. And Representative Woodard?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Barrett, there's 195 sites as of March of 2013. Do you have an idea how many sites we would need to have up to meet our funding goals for the stadium?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Barrett, to the extent,
yep.
No?
Very good question. A lot of the revenue estimates that when we put the model in, our expectation was when we're fully up and operational, that was the 2,500 site count. And again, I'll point out that we have 2,800 currently. There was a factor that we didn't think all sites would get into it, or there could be an internet connection, those kinds of things. But it's based on the sooner we get to 2,500 as well as the per site average sales. That's why I think some of these top sales locations, it's not a secret, some of the operation that could help other sites get involved.
Okay. Anyone else with questions for Mr. Barrett at this point? And Ms. Barrett, you kind of alluded to what you were hearing from those that were doing very well. And it didn't, as you said, it didn't sound like it was rocket science. It was just a matter of working together with the vendor and the distributor and the manufacturer and the distributor and good communication, all of that, and I appreciate that. But there are other questions at this point for Mr. Barrett? Thank you very much. I'm guessing you'll stick around in the event of then what you have in your packet is a memo from me. I don't take any particular pride in authorship. These are not, and I won't even tell you which ones are my ideas. There were just over the course of time when you have a topic that managed to find its way into the news on a frequent basis. I had members approach me with things that they had heard. I've had vendors and folks, bar owners, and I've had charities approach me with their thoughts. So I tried to throw some of them down on the page just simply to get reactions to, and then I'd invite members to share their own, whether it's a reaction of these particular ideas or if you have other ideas of your own. The one emphasis that I can't say enough times, and the reason why I have no bill before us, is because I expressly do not intend to roll anybody, as we like to say around this body. I'm not going to roll the charities. I'm not, and I don't think any of you would be in that camp either. We're not going to make bars do things. We're not going to make anybody do anything. It's a matter of, like any other business, if these were performing well, if they're performing in a mediocre fashion, you go back and you visit it and you figure out what makes sense. Is there things that we can do to improve it? And this is the committee that's charged with that. I understand it's kind of a controversial topic, but one that just because it's controversial doesn't mean we don't have the discussion. So some of the first idea that I hear over and over again, and I'd be interested to get feedback from members of this committee, is the inability and lack of any marketing or advertising. I've indicated one on the memo that was an idea that was brought to me. I heard another one literally earlier this week. The first and the challenge is that you go into a lot of these bars, according to folks, you don't even know they have electronic pull tabs. And the lottery, for example, and we've got Mr. Van Petten and Mr. Feeney from the lottery, they have a relatively substantial marketing budget. And you see it on TV, but you never hear a word about an electronic pull tab. The specific idea that was brought to me a couple of weeks ago was during the first year of rollout, you let the charities use a percentage. The number was 15%. I don't know that there's any magic to that, but during that first year, you let them use that for some marketing and advertising purposes, a percentage, a modest percentage of the net revenues. And I would also give some credit to Representative Hoppe, by the way, who's told me a number of times rather than shake a stick at charities, we should try to incent them into doing some things, charitable gaming organizations. That was that idea. There was the other one that was shared with me yesterday that didn't make it into the memo was how about at the manufacturer or distributor level? Should there be opportunities for them to market or advertise electronic pull tabs that isn't provided for in under current law? My question is, have you all heard the same concern at all, or is it just something that, or do you care? Representative Hoppe.
We care, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Representative Hoppe. All right, that's one for marketing and advertising then. The next category in terms of incentives, and this is where I honestly would invite Representative Hoppe's input and others, is the ideas that kind of came together. One is waiving the annual premise fee of $150 for any charity operating electronic pull tabs by June 30th. Representative Swedzinski.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chair, just kind of a thought just along that same lines when we were looking at that 15%. I would say if you could, whether it be the charity or the actual company that's doing the products or the distribution, I would say whoever's maybe taking the risk. So I know there's probably different scenarios where maybe the charity is putting the machine in the building, or maybe it's the actual vendor themselves. But I would say whoever's actually taking the financial risk to do that, they would have more potential to push the product. So regardless of who puts it in, if it's the distributor or the charity, maybe that would be a dig down into a little bit more, but who knows. Mm-hmm.
Any reaction to that from anybody else? Representative Hoppe? Well,
Mr. Chair, maybe we want to get Mr. Lund to come down and share some of his thoughts about this.
It's certainly fine by me. We didn't put anybody on the, as you know, we didn't want to necessarily put him on the spot. And to anybody that is invited down to answer questions or concerns, and I'm saying this as you come down, please join us, Mr. Lund from Allied Charities. But if you want to say, I'd like to check with my members, you are welcome to say that, and there will be no undue or untoward consequences of that, because I know that we're catching you. This is really sort of a throw it at the wall and see what. Having said all that, does that give you enough time, Mr. Lund, to sort of think through your response? Then we've got several. It may be good that you're here and respond to a number of these. But Mr. Lund, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Alan Lund, Executive Director of Allied Charities in Minnesota, and representatives, thank you for this opportunity. We do appreciate the opportunity to have open discussions on this process. We'd like to just start by saying that we do concur that what is good for charities will be good in the end for the stadium. None of us are happy with how the rollout has been going. We've all got different thoughts about that. But we're making progress. Mr. Baird alluded to some of that. There are some great examples. And you touched on marketing. And we've been in discussions now with the governor's office, Tina Smith, Matt Mossman, the commission, the stadium commission, the Vikings. We are making progress. Chief of Staff and Matt Mossman came to our executive board meeting on Sunday night and talked to us about our concerns. They gave us their concerns, and really we're all on the same page. We all want to be rowing in the same direction. We're all in the boat together. We just sometimes maybe aren't rowing the boat in the same direction, but we're making progress and we are getting there. What we don't need at this point are ideas that we with charities would look at as being detrimental to our mission work in our local communities. And so we like to talk about how we're looking to grow revenue. We're looking for ways to help cut our costs. If we can grow our revenue, that means that the state's going to make more money. And that's one of the things when you touch on the paper business today. Paper business sends in $112,000 a day in taxes. To date, I don't think that electronics in 10 months has sent in that amount. Part of that is because when those games aren't closing, which we're working to address with revenue and gambling control board, because we don't want that money sitting in our accounts either. We want to get that money in. So we do realize that there is a pressure on to come up with ways to help ensure that the obligations for the stadium are met. And the ability to have ideas that don't seem punitive to us are like the stadium memorabilia tax. It's an idea that's a short-term idea. We would look at that as a 3 to 5 year solution that will come up with some fairly solid revenues that does not look punitive to charities. We're not looking for expansion of gaming. We have enough issues on our hands right now. We got enough to do. We're not anti-stadium. There's some of the talk that the charities, the stadium bill was at the expense of charities. That is not true. If we don't grow revenue, there's not going to be any revenue for the state. The electronics was our idea. We've worked very hard for it. We are all in on it. We know that it's going to be a very big part of our future. But things that we see that could benefit charities, raise revenue, cut costs, our effective tax rate. Our effective tax rate is 22%. If we were to pay even 25% of what the corporate tax rate is today, that would be a huge savings to charities. We're looking at if we had a cap on our rent on electronics so that the rent wasn't more than the charities were making, we think that would be a good thing. We're looking at, as the bill that you're carrying, Representative, the audits. And if charities didn't have to have the annual audit at all, that would save us $3,000 to $5,000 or $500,000 for charities. And this is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but when we look at oversight and regulation, we're a heavily regulated organization. If we had the same oversight criteria as the lottery, who they can do tests, they can do things. If I go sell a pull tab outside of our building, my address changes. So there are things that we think can be done that are not punitive to charities, that do not look like expansion of gaming, because again, we have enough to do. But the message I would again leave that we are all in on this. We're working diligently. We believe that when the Link Bingo providers are out of the labs, and it's a very complicated thing, the numbers will be coming up. Will there be a hole next year to fill? There probably will be. It's going to take us a little time. But we also believe that crafting a solution that fits the size of the problem is a good thing. And we just wanted to tell you that we're all in.
Are there other questions? Thank you, Representative Hoppe, and thank you, Mr. Lund, for joining us. Are there other questions for Mr. Lund at this point? I had one, and that's the one that comes up so commonly is the paper pull tab requirement. And I know that one is dicey. As you know, members, to sell electronic pull tabs, you also have to sell paper pull tabs. It's a vibrant industry. It's one that a lot of people make their livelihoods off of. The idea that was pitched to me was keep paper pull tabs in all existing locations, but in the going forward, that there's certain entities that sort of target the 20-something, 30-something crowd that don't really want paper pull tabs. So it wouldn't be any loss of business, but it would allow them to just do electronics. Is there a do you have a position industry-wide or a reaction with respect to that?
Mr. Chair, we do have a position. And the position is that we believe that needs to stay there for several reasons, but two of them, again, that are fairly substantial. Paper is a very complicated, burdensome, costly business to manage. Electronics, on the other hand, is not. And that's a good thing. We're very happy about that. But it's all electronic. It's in the clouds. There's no storing. There's no cost. There's no audits. All these things that make it very difficult to do with paper. And again, in the way the legislation is written, in a bar that if you had less than 200 people, you would have 6 tablets for e-tabs, 6 tablets for Link Bingo, but everyone else in that establishment could be playing paper. And basically, it's at this time we feel that we need to dance who brung us. And paper brought us here. And if we had people that drifted away from paper, it would affect both of our incomes greatly. So we believe at this time that keeping that in there is something that we need to do.
Okay. And part of the reason, I know there's been lots of discussions that are going on privately with folks. I don't mind having a discussion like this, like big kids do, in public and in front of people. So if that is offensive to folks, I really don't care. I'll just tell you, there's been one particular very sound restaurant franchise model that's contacted me a couple times, said they'd love to do electronic pull tabs, but they don't want to have the paper. And what I've told them, and I think this is practical and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is do the paper but just put it behind the bar where nobody even sees it. And they're like, nope, we're not, you know, we just don't want to have the paper. We'll do electronic pull tabs if you guys would drop that requirement. Any reaction to that specific? And you probably know who I'm talking about because I don't think it's a giant secret.
Mr. Chair, we agree with your position.
Put the... You are really good. Remember, y'all remember when Lund was new here? Representative Anseltz, you had a question before I did. So, Representative Anseltz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I hope we're not asking too much. You know, there is a correlation between the ability to market, advertise, and the consumer interest in this particular game of chance. But these bars and restaurants and sites and the nonprofits that rent space in them, I don't believe can market or advertise. Secondly, and this has been a hard one for me to accept, but there is a direct correlation between the state's combined receipts tax burden and the attractiveness of the game to the players because of the real or perceived payout of the game. And the licensed organizations have gradually and steadily have had to reduce the attractiveness of their game by offering poorer and poorer payouts in order to compensate for their burden in terms of the combined receipts tax. So my question
just laying a base, right, Representative Anselm?
Well, I'm not sure if it's a base or a ceiling or what it is, but is there a point in at which what really may have to be done is some massaging of combined receipts together with payout, together with advertising and marketing, which creates an environment where the statute's expectations and everybody's expectations are more readily met?
Let's go on.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anselm, you've certainly touched on a very big part of the matter. To address the advertising first, there are limitations on charities, what they can do to advertise. But we're also in talks with the manufacturers, the distributors, other stakeholders that don't have those kinds of restrictions. That, you know, what can we do as a whole to help people internally, externally, try and drive the business ahead. And again, with the intent of driving our mission, which in turn helps everybody else. The issue on the combined receipts is that, so today 85% is the maximum allowed. If you're playing paper on 85%, you're making between 9 and 11%, so people can't do that because your cost of doing business is 9 to 11 cents. So if you do that, you'll be out of business very quickly. So what they have to do, they start paying less out, less and less. So the average today in charities is about 82% is what they pay out. Then they're when you're doing the cost of business, so all of a sudden they have about 4 or 5 cents left for their mission work. So, and that's what people outside of us, when they hear, you know, the United Way, you give the United Way a dollar, they have 100 pennies. When you give us a dollar, we're giving you back 82 cents. And then we start to pay our bills off the 18. And when we're done, we hope that we have a few pennies left to pay our charities. But that's a big nut to crack. It's kind of the elephant in the room that we're not looking to address necessarily this year. We would certainly always welcome any tax relief, but that's not what we're about this year. And we're about trying to do the right thing for our charities and, in turn, do the right thing for the state.
Okay. Representative Anselm, anything else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the response. Can you tell me just quickly what the cost of the annual audit is?
Mr. Lund?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anselm, it does vary, but typical cost is between $3,000 and $5,000.
Representative Anselm.
Is that per licensed organization?
That's per organization.
Representative Anselm.
Okay, I'm going to end this by giving you one more paragraph here. You see, what's happened is a lot of disparate interests saw a business opportunity, and a business opportunity that was growing, accountants being one. And at the end of the day, again, now I'll make my point and then I'll quit. You know, our expectations are only justified if we take another hard look at the business. I worry that the business, as it is currently structured, is not going to fulfill what it is we're asking it to do.
And just so we're clear, right now we audit, with the exception of some really small ones, but everybody gets an audit. Subject, you got to obviously be big enough. That's the opposite model of what we have. We all just filed our taxes, I hope, within the last couple of days. I was going to mention that to Representative Hoppe, but
thanks for waiting until several days afterwards.
That's a different model, though. That is a model where you are occasionally selected as a recipient of an audit, and you are honest as a result of the fact that you might be audited. So it's two different extremes, really, in terms of it. And Mr. Lund, you have any comment with respect to that? And then Representative Hoppe's next on the list.
Mr. Chair, and we would never advocate that the Department of Revenue Gambling Control Board could not call an audit. If they saw smoke, they should be able to call an audit. And we would never say that there should not be that right. But we are saying that in our bill this year, raising it from $5 to $7.50, and if the representatives, if you folks said we could raise that even further, we would not be against that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. London. Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think we all want the charities to succeed. Setting the stadium funding issue aside, I mean, this is money for little kid hockey and Cub Scouts. So I think we all want this to succeed in and of itself, and I think I'll follow up on what Representative Anzels will say, probably not as eloquently, but I think we need to worry about the health of the whole proposition. And this, the stadium bill, through some variations, originally started out as something that was to try to give charities a little bit more relief. So I think that, and we've talked a little bit about it, if we can figure out a way to try to give charities a little bit more of an incentive to do this, it helps them become healthier, it's more money for a little kid hockey, and helps us pay for a stadium. I think that's what we can shoot for. So Mr. Lund, if you were Greg Gestosh, who runs, as we all know, runs gambling for the Chaska Lions, what do you do? I mean, how do we incent the Chaska Lions to want to do e-poll tabs instead of the paper variety?
Mr. Lund?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hoppe, I don't think that the issue totally relates directly to the amount of taxes that they're paying. Again, with the combined receipts tax, depending on where you are at, I believe that your Lions organization is a very successful, vibrant organization. So they're hitting their heads against the ceiling at 36% fairly early in a fiscal year. And organizations that do that, there's really no reason not to try and raise your revenue as high as you can go, because you're already paying the highest rates. But the organizations that are at the lower levels, the 9 and the 18, that if they get heavily into electronics, raising their paper business, if you jump from 9 to all of a sudden 27, you are making more money, that's very true, but your taxes have went up like 112%. So those are considerations, but the electronics, again, our advice to our members is you need to look at all your individual situations, but we are convinced that it's plus business, it's plus money, and we rooted for the House version last year.
I think we all
root for the House version.
thank you, Mr. Lund and Mr. Chair. And I think it gives us a lot to think about. And I don't know exactly what the magic formula is. I don't know that there is one. But setting the stadium issue aside again, we've had testimony earlier this year from, and I don't recall the charity, but it might have come from you, about a particular charity. And I've heard anecdotally outside of here from charities that are considering just getting out of it because it's labor intensive, and it comes down to it, the return on investment is not that good. So whatever we can do to help, helps, we're all in favor of helping Invergrove Heights Hockey and whatever, Cub Scouts, and if it helps the stadium too, that's a good thing. So thank you, Mr. Lund.
Okay. Representative Anselms.
Representative Hoppe's last paragraph there was right on the money. It used to be good. This all was great once it got started, year one through seven or eight. And then we wanted to regulate it, and then we wanted to tax it, and there really is, and we were providing a whole range of services and dollars and programs in every community in the state. It was working beautifully. was working the way it was supposed to work. And with the onset of the combined receipts tax, which I might add I had a little bit to do with at the time, just a little bit, the thing has gone in a different direction.
There are other questions or comments to that point? Welcome, Representative Portman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Rubin, within 4 seconds, has her first question.
Well, I had a fill-up in taxes and had the pleasure of getting involved in a tax debate that I knew nothing about because I don't serve on the tax committee this year. And I don't know what the previous conversation was, but I did have a question. I knew the topic we were discussing today, and I wondered if anybody had discussed the option of putting electronic pull tabs at the airport. Is that the...
We have now. Or at the Capitol, proposes Representative Hoppe. No, we haven't. You have a question in that respect?
I do, Mr. Chair. You know, I just had the good fortune to be at the airport, and I noticed there's a lot of iPads in the G concourse, and I know we're having trouble making the numbers that we want to make, and I don't know why we wouldn't simply expand what we're doing in bars around the state to the airport.
Okay. Are you proposing that question to Mr. Lund? Or
I think Mr. Lund would be the right person to ask that question, or maybe to the chair.
Yeah, because I've been to the airport. why don't we give Mr. Lund a shot at it first?
But Mr. Chair, Representative Portman, there are electronics at the airport. And Mr. Barrett could probably talk about but they're there.
Okay. Why don't we, is that all right, Representative Portman? I know you're waiting for my answer, too, because I've been to the airport, but Mr. Barrett has a bit more expertise than I do.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to make sure to ask the question in case you were about to adjourn, having just walked into the room. So if I ask the question at the wrong moment, please feel free to defer my question until the right moment.
All good in the Commerce Committee.
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
can I ask Representative Hortman a question? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Right before you came in, we were talking about charities and how we want to help charities and incent them to do more of this. And on this sheet that's in front of us, it says that this would benefit the MSP Airport Foundation. Do you know what that does? Can you tell us what charity that is? I'll withdraw the question, Mr. Chair.
Based on the smile from Representative Portman.
Mr. Chair, I'm happy to brief the committee on the arguments that are happening in the tax committee, but I can't contribute to this question that you asked.
Let's see what Mr. Barrett knows at this point, then we'll see where the discussion goes from there. Mr. Barrett?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Portman. Yeah, as Mr. Lund pointed out, electronic pull tabs are available at the airport now, but I need to make the distinction. They are under the Minnesota Airport Foundation, but I think what you witness or see of these iPads, which... I think it's OTG, one of the main vendors that handles the sales locations at those sites, provided the iPad devices for their customers. And so there was a bill introduced, I think it's still pending, as far as acknowledging the airport site for additional latitude to take advantage of those iPad devices that are provided by a non-licensed vendor to be used not only for charitable gaming purposes, but to order your drinks and your food, things like that. We weighed in on that opportunity. Technology is there, but there's a little concern in terms of these devices have some strict standards in terms of the games and how they're played. But I think the big elephant in the room included in that particular proposal was the allowance for the use of a debit or credit card. Now, we could regulate regardless, but that was one of the issues that came out of the iPad proposal related to the airport. But the bottom line answer to you is electronic devices are available to the airport, but on a limited basis.
And actually, my apologies to the committee, because that was, if you look at my little memo, that was an idea that was brought to me some months ago about a month ago, was allowing the use of a credit card. And I know there's, from a problem gambling standpoint, I believe that's where the pushback would come. But I think right now, as you said, Mr. Barrett, there are electronic pull tabs at the airport, but they're limited to the, and I may well have been the guy that talked about six, and there was just, nobody quite knew what number to put on how many in a particular site. And quite frankly, had I to do it over again, there's some sites where 6 and 6 makes a great deal of sense, or 12 and 12, whatever, you know, the depending on the size of the... But to treat every, you know, we go through and we see pictures, and, you know, obviously some of the sites are doing really well and probably would be better with 8 or 10 or 15, and other sites might be better with 3. So to treat them all exactly the same, I don't know if that was the right approach or not. That's kind of why we're reconnoitering. I'm not specifically for folks who are concerned. I'm not personally advocating for an increase in the overall number of devices. But why you would arbitrarily say you put the same number of devices in every single site, frankly, that doesn't make a great deal of sense to me either. If you've got certain sites that are doing very well where there's a demand, the prospect perhaps of having the gambling control board saying, okay, there's a legitimate demand here and that would make sense, but the overall number isn't going to go up. But the issue with respect to the airport, as I understand it, is you'd be going from those set numbers up to, you know, when I've been to the airport, it was a sea of iPads. Perhaps there's somebody here from the airport that actually knows how many, but my guess is hundreds or 1,000 or somewhere in that vicinity. Anyway, we have Mr. Cassidy. I'm guessing you may know the number.
Well, Mr. Chair, while
yes, Representative Hoppe,
in the interest of using our time most efficiently, while Mr. Cassidy's on his way down.
Well, he's here now, so never mind.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
You know, it's part of my job is to set the chair up, and you just let him hit those out of the park. When you just mentioned that we should treat different sites differently, I like that. And the proposal at the airport, I don't know that we want to allow credit or debit cards everywhere. That, I think, would raise some red flags. But at the airport, that might be the best way to go. I mean, people, you're generally there. I can't imagine anyone's flying without a credit or debit card. And generally, people don't have a lot of cash. I assume there are ATMs there. But I think at the airport, that makes some sense to have people use their credit or debit cards.
And thank you, Representative
Hoppe. Oh, there he is.
And just in time, Mr. Cassidy, do you know the number?
Mr. Chairman, members, Paul Cassidy with Leonard Street and Dyer, representing OTG Management. They develop airports, and they just finished redeveloping Concourse G, and along with that redevelopment have launched over 2,000 iPads in that concourse. So no matter where you sit, whether you're waiting for a plane or getting something to eat or shopping, there's an iPad in front of you with internet access, shopping access. You order your food and drinks from those iPads. And what we're suggesting is that electronic pull tabs be added to these as well. It would only be customers who are ticketed passengers, obviously who have gone through security. Obviously, many of these people are folks that are not from Minnesota that are coming through our airport and changing planes or on their way to a new destination. I think a couple of other things in terms of the success and not to handcuff the effort is to contemplate a very limited use of credit cards or debit cards at the airport and not outside the airport. I think one of the things when you look at problem gaming, credit cards actually help you limit people's access to too much gambling by the machines can be programmed to limit dollar amounts, for instance. If you're using a credit card, you can only do $100 worth of gambling or $200 versus an ATM or cash where you can go back and forth to a cash machine over and over and over. And then again, the MSP Airport Foundation, from what I know, I think that they provide a lot of the volunteer services at the airport, such as the carts that you see that help people around the airport, information desks, and things like that. So with that, I'd be happy to answer questions.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Hortman. It was your any follow-up questions to that?
Mr. Chair, is there a bill in front of our committee today?
No. In fact, I said at the outset, and for anybody that's joined us since, I was very thoughtful and deliberative in not having a bill before us. Because this is a pretty sensitive topic, and I wanted to make sure that it was the discussion initially anyway was broached in a very non-threatening fashion so that people didn't think their goose was going to get cooked as they sat here. But we're just kind of listening. We'll look for feedback during the committee as well as afterwards. Actually, Mr. Lund, you're looking to cut out, but I did but there was that question of having a different number, but and I, at least speaking just for me, I'm not talking about a number that's an unlimited number at Porky's or Skinner's, but 3 more devices or 6 more devices at a Porky's or Skinner's if there's other entities that are not. Is that something that the charities have talked about at any point and would think is a good idea or something that is not so good, or has there been any discussion at all?
Mr. Chair, there has. And really what we thought that this year would be going through this year will tell us how those numbers are, and we fully anticipate that next year we would be able to come and talk about where the business is at and come up with numbers that maybe were more aligned to how their business was. So we fully anticipate that, but we did not we were not looking to change that this year, as we really see it's a learning experience, a lab experience for us this year.
Okay. And then there was, shifting gears entirely, there's been one other topic that I get a lot, and that has been, and I don't, this might put you in a bad position, maybe we should hear from some others, but I think it's number five on the list that I created, and that was the elimination of exclusive distributorships. And again, I know this is one of the, you know, I'm not looking at interfering in anybody's contract between a particular manufacturer and a particular distributor. But folks have said it out loud a lot that people are loyal to their own distributor, you know, to the people that they've worked with in the past. I'm loyal to people that I've worked with in the past. I get that. But that's been one of the repetitive concerns that's come up a lot about I didn't get into it because my guy wasn't doing it yet. Mr. Lund, any reaction to that? So this, the proposal from what I've heard is you prohibit those exclusive distributorships as of a certain date. The ones that are currently in place would continue to go. What do you think?
Mr. Chair, so the electronic pull tab legislation was written that exclusivity was allowed under certain circumstances, and that happened. We all have different opinions on the value of that, but it is in law. It is not in the bingo the link bingo legislation. So again, I think if we had to do it over again, we might not have done it that way. But it was all done according to the law and according to the legislation. And we haven't really given, we don't have an official position on that at this point.
And by the way, I don't take anything, it's Acres, I think, and Express Games. I don't take anything, I'm not insulting them in any way. I mean, they've done something that they thought was in their best interests, and what they're doing now I'm not looking to interfere with. But that has been one of the concerns that's been raised by some of the charities, is I don't want to get into it until my gal or my guy is actually selling these games. So I don't see anybody leaping up to talk about that one very much. But are there other thoughts or questions for anyone else that desires to be heard with respect to that particular item? Okay. Any other questions? There was one other grouping of things I heard about, and it was relative to incentives. Are there any incentives, Mr. Lund, that have been discussed by the charities that would be beneficial, other than we heard loud and clear, change our effective tax rate? We're not pressing that this year, Mr. Chair, but that would be very helpful to us, and I heard that from people like Representative Ann Seltz, and I think Representative Hoppe was alluding to that as well. We're hearing that. Are there other incentives, though, like waiving the premise fee or changing the reporting or those sorts of things that would be helpful?
Mr. Chair, things like that would be helpful, and our focus has been on cutting costs. And in fact, the bill that you're carrying for us is the majority of those items are not gaming related, but in order to help us cut costs.
Other questions or concerns from anybody else? My goal was to try to, I know we can go till 5:30 or whatever, my goal was to be done no later than 5:15, so I think we've reached that point. What I would ask of committee members is, first off, thank you, by the way, for indulging this discussion. It's obviously kind of an important one, and one where I think we've now sort of, we've turned a page and we're moving on to a new chapter in terms of figuring out ways to have electronic pull tabs continue to improve. And I think many are pushing along those same lines, and we're hopeful about what the future may hold. But in addition to the comments that were made here, now is the time. If you've heard ideas or things that you want to push back with me on that you think are just either violently stupid And you just want to tell me that, but you don't want to make fun of me here in front of the everybody else. Or if you think they're really good ideas and that they were presented well and they seem to have were received well. This holds true of members, mostly members, quite honestly. But anybody that's here or anybody that happens to be reading about this or watching it, we're still in that phase. And if we coalesce around certain ideas that would make some sense this year, I'd be happy to think along those lines. And if there's things that would require people to be rolled and pushed around, I have zero interest in doing that this year. I don't think that now is the time to do that. I think there's enough, hopefully some carrots that we've talked about, and there's already enough sticks. I think there's plenty of folks that are scared and incented in that fashion to do the best that they can. But with that, unless anybody has anything further, we are adjourned, and thank you all.